Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brizola, and on this May 20th in the year 2010. Still have us cold, but we're going to hang in there. Among the interesting births today, in 1995, was a 17 at the time, an Indian from India, born in New York State, Bellamuri Ambati. He was the youngest doctor ever to graduate from medical school, Mount Sinai, at the age of 17. And, of course, we bring these medical tidbits up, these little gems, because of the ongoing furor, and it's not over, about national health care, and there are serious problems. The one thing they all agree on, something's got to be done, but what is to be done, and who's to do it, and who's to be done, is part of the issue. And we brought up in an earlier program, and we'll do some more on this, maybe we need, like the Irish had, a national lottery to pay for some of this stuff. It was known as the Irish sweepstakes, and there are lotteries to fund the budget's defects around the world, and we'll do another show on that. excuse me, still got this bloody cold. Let's see, who was born today? Oh, let's get the events. We had a lot of famous people got railroaded today. We had the two naval disasters started today. 1585, the Spanish Armada set sail for England. And those of you who know something about English and Spanish history in that period, Philip II, who was one of the world's wealthiest and biggest, controlled more territory at the time, Catholic Spain, decided to dethrone Elizabeth I, who she considered a bastard because she was Henry VIII's second wife. So, Anne Boleyn. Yeah, there we go. And then there's a famous movie, which I'd recommend, that's coming back out called Fire Over England. And it was produced and distributed during World War II to show that the Germans did the same thing, and we did the same thing about these films, of historical films, depictions, to keep home fires burning and keep people's patriotic spirits alive, or to stir them up or to flame them up. Also, the Bismarck, the biggest battleship that the Germans ever built, set sail from Gdynia, Poland, in the North Sea there, and that's a famous city because of the Polish shipyard strikes, which led to the people like Lech Walesa, which led to the fall of communism in one form in Poland. They're busy subverting our institutions here and haven't stopped, but that's another story for another day. And then getting back to Elizabeth I, those of you who are familiar with Catholicism and the battles in that 15th century, Mary, Queen of Scots, was arrested by Elizabeth I. Mary had a stronger claim to the English throne because of her mother was the sister of Henry VIII. And, of course, I don't know if her mother remained Catholic. Henry VIII left the Roman Catholic Church, and when you see an English monarch crown, one of the terms in the coronation oath is defender of the faith. And what that means, what that meant was, what Henry VIII was a remarkable man, a linguist, a composer of music, very brilliant military expert. In fact, one of the biggest warships was built in his time, but it capsized. They just got it out of the mud, I think, and they're still trying to preserve it and restore it. But he wrote something in defense of the Catholic Church, and the Pope gave him the title Defender of the Faith. But when he left the Church, he kept the title, and it's used in every coronation or oath. William, the grandson of Elizabeth II, if he becomes king, that will probably be there in his coronation oath, if he unless they change it. And then we also have the interesting other births. One of the greatest first ladies was born today in 1768, Dolly Madison, who saved George Washington's portrait, and also was the first lady for hostess for Thomas Jefferson, whose wife had died, and he couldn't use the half-black woman who was his, some say lover, and fathered, mothered children for Jefferson. And then those of you who study philosophy, and it's coming up again, John Stuart Mill was born today. And then a bit of Western history and banking history, the Wells Fargo, William Fargo was born today in 1818. And then I don't know if this woman, what religion she was, the first, in 1825, the first woman minister was ordained, Antoinette Brown Blackwell. I didn't have time to look it up. And then, since we're all focused on the Supreme Court again and the controversy swirling about she hasn't even put on the gown, Mr. Obama's nominee, John M. Harlan was born in Chicago. I guess him and John Paul Stevens have something in common. And he was the son of John Marshall Harlan I, who came up with the separate but equal Plessy versus Ferguson, which was a long time ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court, which said that segregation could be enforced, but all of the facilities had to be separate or could be separate, but they had to be equal. But that was contested from the day that the SCOTUS, or the Supreme Court of the United States, handed that down. And those of us who use printers and monitors, William Hewitt was born today in 1913. Those of us who follow Israeli history and the great military minds, and there's a connection to the Steve Neri case, and we'll get into that. Very interesting. The Patton of Israel, his cousin was involved in this case. He recently died. Moshe Dayan was born today in Israel. And then among the other things was founded for Filipinos. They've got Filipino month coming up next month. The city of Manila was founded in 1571. And, of course, they just had an election there. And, ironically, I was in the Far East as a correspondent about the time that Benjamin Aquino was getting off the plane there and was assassinated on the tarmac. He was told not to come back, and he said, "The hell with it, I'm coming back." And he came, and he left the airport in a casket or in a hearse. So that's fascinating. Now, for those of us who are concerned about national security, and there is a debate even today, and there's a film that shows just how this is done. The film is called In Defense of the Realm, and where the British MI5, MI6, whoever did it, and they do it, and they all do it, all the security services, because of national security. Postmaster Summerfield in the Eisenhower administration authorized the CIA to open mail. Mail was supposed to be secret. And there is case law on this, that once a letter is sealed and stamped, proper postage, and sent, whether it's ordinary mail or certified mail, and that question comes up in the Steve Neri case. Very interesting how these people violate all kinds of laws here in San Francisco, the city where anything goes and does and has. And so mail can be opened by the CIA in the interest of national security. Of course, there are some groups who know about this oppose it and question it. But, we have to be safe, and it's just something to think about. But if you want to see how this is done, and there's also a film with Robert Redford and that Swedish actor, where he plays Robert Redford plays a CIA analyst, and his assassin dresses up as a U.S. mailman And I don't know where he got the uniform and the badge, but stranger things have happened. And 10 Days of the Condor. So that's a movie that's relevant, and you can get some understanding about national security in the post office. And then In Defense of the Realm, very good film, English film, came out in the 80s. And then the first woman and black woman and first black ambassador, Patricia Roberts Harris, was appointed today. She was ambassador to Luxembourg. She died recently. And then in South Africa, we had the first white woman in 1930 who got the franchise to vote. I'll get into voting a little later because it's very important with this the November 2010 election. Since we did, and we will update Californians Against Voter Fraud, where we investigated, several of us investigated vote fraud here in California. They're preparing, the radical lavender left is preparing to hijack the election already today. David Chu, who is the Asian Chinese ethnic president of the San Francisco City Council, or Board of Supervisors is what we call it out here, but City Council is generally known around the country. Anyway, he put for proposed legislation to allow people who have kids in San Francisco's public schools to vote in school board elections. Now, the people who have the kids, a lot of them in the public schools, are aliens. Some are legal immigrants, but they're not U.S. citizens, and some are illegal immigrants. I goofed, and I'm criticizing other people. Illegal aliens, and their kids are in school. In fact, there was an incident with Mrs. Obama, Mrs. O., was caught on Hannity yesterday. You'll probably pick it up Saturday because he replays the program, where the child, a young girl in a school, I think in Pennsylvania, Mrs. O was there talking to the kids, and the girl disclosed the fact, inadvertently, she's not politically sophisticated at her age, that her mother was an illegal. And Mrs. O danced around the issue. So catch Hannity over the weekend. It's a replay, and that episode should come up, and maybe he'll replay it again. But this is what happens, and they tried this in Chicago, and of course, you know, this isn't a matter of the camel sticking its nose in the tent. This is the herd, the caravan coming into the tent, because once they get just this right, which is a citizenship right, whether you're native-born, natural-born, or you're a legal immigrant who has become naturalized and registers to vote. But illegals, and this is one of the issues, they want, why we hear this fuss about the so-called Arizona immigration law, it's not, it's illegal alien, illegal migrant. And what they want these people to do, and they have done this, and we'll document some of this, is these people to register on election day and to vote on election day. And, of course, when Wednesday comes around and they've counted the votes, they find out some are fraudulent. What are you going to do? And you may not find out some of these are fraudulent. We will be producing a primer to detect and prevent vote fraud in your neighborhood, in your city, your county. I don't know about the states because some of the laws are different. But it's a primer, and it's based on our long experience dealing with this problem and this cancer in our system, in the body politic. And they haven't quit, and the Alinsky people are still at it, the Acorn people are still at it, the homosexuals are still at it, and the lesbians, because that's they elect these representatives, they get control of federal funds and the foundation funds that come into their particular cities, and they distribute them to their cronies, their butt buddies, or whatever. So this is how they get the power, and this is how they got it in San Francisco, through vote fraud. And they have hijacked the system, and they will continue to hijack the system unless people who want to protect the most precious thing we have. Because in foreign countries, people have been killed when they tried to vote. They've been discouraged from voting. We have that scandal in Philadelphia in the last election where the Black Panthers intimidated voters. And nothing was done about that. And this is not the first time. It's happened in the South. The Ku Klux Klan and the white supremacists discourage either through verbal intimidation or physical intimidation and assault blacks and Jews and other people that from registering to vote and from voting. So keep that in mind. excuse me, still have his bloody coat. Now, also today, very important, in 1921, Congress instituted a national quota system for legal immigration. And that went on for the longest time. And over the years, some of the countries, the Anglo-Saxon countries, and some of the other Western European countries, had quotas set back in 1921, which over the years, and because of World War II intervened and the Iron Curtain after World War II, 1946, it was difficult. Our people just didn't emigrate, E-M-I-G-R-A-T-E, to the United States. And so those quotas remain unfilled. And then yet there were people wanting to come from countries from Asia, Chinese, Filipinos, Indians from India, Mexico, South Americans, Central Americans. And after World War II, we did provide, the country did provide a status for what was known as DPs, displaced persons. In fact, my best buddy in boarding school was from Lithuania, him and his brother and his father, they were Catholics, and his father was a forced laborer in Albert Speer's factories in Germany, and he survived the war. His wife died, and he came to the United States, put the kids in as a DP, displaced person. And I knew many of these. In fact, we have some in my family from on the marriage side. And his son, it looked like when he put on his Air Force uniform, he joined the Air Force after high school. We graduated together, and he also helped save my wife when I nearly drowned. So I always remember him. And he served in Vietnam in the Air Force as a photographer, reconnaissance in the B-29s, and was infected with Agent Orange, and he died of that horrible cancer. So I think his brother is still alive. I haven't talked to them. But we had that. We allowed those people to come into the country, and the subsequent administrations permitted special status for people from Jews from Russia, from Israel, some of the people who were persecuted in their home country. So, we need to know the history of immigration and what Congress, how they dealt with this over the years. And, of course, there was amnesty. And then we have the serious question here in San Francisco where this guy, Kevin Ryan, was born in Alberta, Canada, we don't know where, I think in 1958. He lied about how he entered the United States, presumably with his parents, and he claimed in sworn documents that he lived all his life in San Francisco, which is a big fat lie and perjury. But he was the judge, illegal judge, willful misconduct in the case, Steve Neri case of San Francisco, California State, versus Steve Neri, U.S. Navy. And they put the Navy on trial as homophobic, rigged the trial, but it's very interesting. And now people are asking a question. He was a prosecutor in Alameda County, and they're asking a question, if this guy was in the country, entered the country illegally, has everything he done from that period, from the point of entry, time of entry, been illegal? And there are guys sitting in California State Prison, and maybe in federal prison because he was U.S. attorney here illegally. Half that office quit rather than put his name on their resumes, and also he was a total ass, arrogant, and threatened me. The usual bullying from these thugs, and connected to the homosexual prostitutes, Log Cabin Club is a member, and the Place Dads and Male Prostitution Publications. It's all documented. But anyway, questions were raised, and it was raised by our former Israeli connection, Nate Ratner, whose cousin, General Ratner, not Ratner, Tal, was one of the patents of Israel and the hero of the 1967 war. And was raising a lot of questions about Juan Pifre, who was an Argentine neo-Nazi illegal alien, not a citizen, never, but he was voting and making campaign contributions. That's the other thing. This whole business of empowering illegal aliens, illegal migrants, and even illegal immigrants. Some people are coming here illegally to become immigrants. And during the Reagan administration, there was a national amnesty, and I don't know how this affects some of these other people. Incidentally, a person who is an alien who is in this country, whether he comes in here legally as an alien and as an immigrant to become a U.S. citizen. When they become 18, if they're males, they're supposed to register for selective service, even though there is no active draft right now. However, if they don't, they are barred from receiving any federal benefits, school grants, hold public office. So it's an interesting question, and we have suspects. They're not the usual suspects, but they are suspects who did not register for the draft. There was a two-year period of hiatus, I think, from 1969 to 71. I'll look it up again, and we'll bring it up. But people are starting to look at that because these people who didn't who are suspected of not registering for the military draft and selective service, are corrupt politicians, corrupt judges, corrupt lawyers, corrupt local officials. We won't name names right now until we have all the facts. Also, you can look up a person's, if the records are still available, their selective service record on the web. But there was a fire, and we don't know if Bill Ayers and that Weatherman crowd had anything to do with this, at the National Archives, one of the archives buildings, I think in St. Louis, in about 1965-66. So those records may have been destroyed. I heard that there were duplicates made, but there's been no verification of that. But what you need to do, and I'll give you some hints about how to, on our coming primer, it'll probably be on disk or hard copy, on how to detect and prevent vote fraud. What you need to do is start looking, and these are public documents, start looking at the voter registrar's records in your local city, county, and even state. These records are available. You cannot have their Social Security number. That's private, and it's protected, and it should be. So if you're concerned about protecting the most important franchise, the most important right that you have, I suggest you do that. Don't complain and don't say, you know, we're a Tea Party, we're conservative Republicans, or we're conservative independents, and we're going to take back Congress, going to take back our cities, going to take back our organizations, and don't do a damn thing. And then come Wednesday, you're going to wonder how the hell it happened. And, you know, you will deserve no sympathy, and you will get none. So if you're concerned, you've got to start now, and you've got to stay on it. And work with organizations that are, there are other organizations around the country of various expertise and ethics who are trying to protect the voting franchise, that this is something to be protected. And there are those, what I call internal subversives, who are the cancer in the body politic, who are trying to hijack and have hijacked in prior elections the elections. So, and they haven't given up. They're smarter at it. They've got computers. They know how to do things, and we just got to act smarter. Even if you don't have the money, it doesn't cost to go in and check records, and we'll show you how to do that. And there, of course, there may be other organizations out there that have their ideas on the subject, but at least you must become aware of this. And our upcoming, we've just got our computer back and some new software and our video. So, yes, those of you concerned about these, I use the wrong word, marathons, but these runner's races, I guess that's a correct term, a proper term, in your city, which are started for charity, look at what's going on or what has gone on, and it's gotten worse with the San Francisco Beta Breakers. It's just become an Animal House frat and sorority party. It's also become, we've got on the our Amicus Veritas, AmiVeritas, our YouTube site, video documentation of a brawl that started when these women were peeing and defecating in this guy's yard and on his steps. He asked them to clean it up. They initially refused, and they got into a shouting and a physical assault match and spraying. When he got out his hose, some people got sprayed. Unfortunately for them, it wasn't urine in it. We heard one guy had a bucket of urine and he was going to use it. But there was, what happens is they come into San Francisco. They're known as the Bridge and Tunnel crowd. And you see them in your own cities. These kids come in, and a lot of them are underage. It's spring break, and they can't afford to go to Florida, but they can go to one of these city runners races or whatever, and they get drink beer. There was some hard liquor, a liqueur. We saw one woman, I don't know if we were able to, the new Shadow was able to get video of that. But Coors Light was the beer of choice, and these kids were definitely underage. And, of course, there was the usual, the nudity. It's increased in recent runners races. And unfortunately, my view and other people's views are that these people should keep their clothes on. It's unesthetic exposure, and they should be arrested. And one runner's race, a dog ran out from the crowd, the spectators, and bit this guy in his butt. And, of course, we see more and more gays, homosexuals. They've done this when we had the Olympic torch that came through San Francisco. They did a protest or an exhibition. And then the unfortunate Folsom Street orgy, S&M, sadomasochism, a lot of that goes on. They invite children to come to these things. And keep this in mind. If you're coming to San Francisco, don't wear flowers in your hair. With all this reckless driving, you should have a safety helmet, whether you're on a motorcycle or in a car, because one of the major trucking companies in the United States have alerted their drivers and warned their drivers that there's an epidemic of reckless driving going on, and to be careful and not to look at these people. Don't get into confrontations with them because they're causing accidents. And, of course, the decent, safe driver who has auto insurance, there are a lot of people who drop their auto insurance and are taking that risk because of the economy or whatever. We're paying for these people who don't have auto insurance, uninsured motorists. Also, we're paying for their accidents. We're paying for the medical that these expenses that are incurred when these reckless drivers cause accidents. And there's aggressive tailgating. And I've never seen in nearly 50 years of driving, no chargeable accidents to me, I've never seen a group of people, these younger women who are driving these BMWs, SUVs, with attitude. They're on the cell phone, they're texting, and they drive aggressively. It's so they're trying to get even, or they feel that they're equal to or superior to male drivers. This is the impression I had because I was a professional driver at one time. National Safety Council training. Very good. So what I would recommend is, you should start asking questions. Also, on the California ballot this year, it's, I think, Prop 13. This proposition, the insurance companies are concerned about increasing costs and some of the problems that they are having. This is the auto insurance companies. Some controversy about this proposition, but people need to be aware that the cost of accidents is rising, and it's the driver who keeps his insurance in effect and has insurance, and he or she pays for those drivers who don't have insurance, or those reckless drivers, even if they do have insurance, because you can sue them for negligent driving. So, start paying attention. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, and it does. We will resume on next Tuesday. I hope I'm feeling better from this cold. Go to our YouTube website, AMICUSVERITAS. Go to our web pages. It was about 10 years of work there. And Google VERZOLA.com. And it'll roll over quicker. The name's too long. And so we'll end with our favorite theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight.
some qualified Republican who's willing.
No one's willing to lose. This is Peter Robizola. Thanks for listening. Okay. Let's see what we got here. No.